And it is 12:30 and time for bureaucracy now. Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark, and I am here with my co-host, John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, for our every Thursday chance to get together and talk about all things city.
Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Fine. Can you fix the rain?
Yeah, we're on it. It'll be gone in just a few days.
And we are joined today by Emily Buford.
It's actually Bufford.
Bufford. Emily Bufford, who is the I've just seen it in print.
That's okay.
And Emily Bufford is the Port Townsend Library Manager. John, I'm just...
That's okay, Taylor. That's what a co-host is for. I could pinch hit. Emily, I'm excited always to have staff for the city here to help our community understand how the magic happens. And in their words, and Emily's a recent hire back into Port Townsend, I'd love for Emily, just kind of give people a sense of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I am super excited to be here today. My start date was April 1st. And this is really exciting for me because Port Townsend was the library that my mom brought me to when I was a kid.
Oh, that's a great.
And I've been working on Bainbridge Island as their youth services librarian for the past 2 years. So it's really exciting for me to come back and join my local community here, my local library. And I'm really excited.
That is.
I love these stories, Taylor, because like we grow great talent and then there's a value proposition for great talent to come back to serve the community. And Emily is, an epitome of that.
That is a good story. Had you moved away or were you still living here in PT?
I was commuting, so it was over an hour to Bainbridge.
Oh, so this is
makes it extra exciting. Coming, I live Maristone Island, It's much closer to home for me.
Well, that sounds great. And so you were born and raised in Port Townsend.
Yes, I grew up Maristone Island.
And
so,
what kinds of things did you do with your mom in the library? What's your earliest memory of the library?
My earliest memory is I remember it being this magical place where there were white lights shining, and I remember the flannel board where they had story time. So I remember coming to the story time at Port Townsend. So that's exciting because now I'm getting to put on some of those programs that I remember going to when I was a kid. Which is really special, and seeing my family. So my younger siblings have come to some of my story times here. And it's really great because during COVID, we were offering virtual story times, and now we're back to some of that in person, which just has a great energy.
Well, I know the Jefferson County Library has been having them out at the park at the pavilion, and they're either in or near the pavilion, just depending on the weather. But you're actually are able to have kids back in the library now, distanced perhaps?
We're still doing outdoor story times. We're doing them on the Pink House lawn, which is just outside the library. And then starting this Friday, actually, we're going to be having story times at Chestamoka Park, too, which I'm excited about. The story times at the park, that was my first story time experience as a presenter. I used to do them over at H.J. Carroll, too.
Right.
I think Chestamoka is a really great space for that. It's nice because then after story time, families can go to the park and
the beach.
And it meets a different demographic too for families who might not be coming into the library and they're already out at the park. I'm able to go meet those families, tell them what we're doing, and get them excited about books.
Oh, that is.
And just for the record, the national weather forecast, I'm not a weather forecaster, but tomorrow there's a 50% chance of rain according to the Weather Service. So that can always change, but bring a jacket, but it doesn't look terrible tomorrow.
I'll be there rain or shine. So if it's rainy, bundle up, bring an umbrella.
Okay. And in addition to that, so you're the library director. What does the library director, library manager do?
So my official position, it's the youth and outreach library manager here.
Okay, good.
So my focus area is on kids, teens, young adults, and then also our outreach department. So that includes our home delivery services. So we bring books to library our patrons who aren't able to leave their homes. So that's also a part of my job. Which
oh, so
I'm
not
really
just
excited
not
about.
Just kids. This is for homebound people. So if because this happens, you know, people get to the point that it's not as easy for them to get around town. Is this sort of thing where they can go online and request a book and then it shows up?
Yeah, and there's an application process to make sure uh-huh. you fit that criteria, and then we'll bring it to you with our courier service. So if you're not able, if you've got a medical reason why you're not able to leave your
home.
That's
what I was thinking.
Yeah, and that's just, it's really great. It makes the services more accessible for patrons, and that's what the library is trying to do is make minimize those barriers and make our services really accessible for all our patrons. No matter what their situation is.
Well, I think this is a problem with libraries in general is they're there and, you know, some people use them a lot and other people don't use them at all. And the challenge is how do you get more people to take advantage of the services that the library offers?
And I think that is one of the great things that has happened during COVID and the pandemic is that we've had to be really creative about our services and really reimagine what that looks like. So libraries were really like one of the first to reopen their doors and they were doing curbside services and drop-in and the home library resources as well. And then we started doing things like at Port Townsend, we've got our story walk. So we've been changing that out. And that's set up by Kai Tai. And so people can read the picture book as they walk along that trail. There's just a lot of really great creative resources and creative thinking that people have been doing right now.
You saw my quizzical look, so I didn't get a chance to ask the question. So the story walk, is this for kids or is this an adult thing at Kai Tai?
We've been doing picture books, but I would say that picture books are appealing to both kids and adults. So if you're an adult who really enjoys picture books, we've been featuring some really great choices. So, and I've heard from grandparents and kids who do it like together. That's a really great thing to do as a family.
That is a creative idea. It's sort of like the literary equivalent. It's like a literary pub crawl, but without the alcohol.
Yeah.
Prohibited in parks.
Of course, John, be away.
Let me just throw some cold water on something, please.
Thank you. Hey, I'm trying to be creative here. I want to think of ways. Because I know, you know, the outdoor Wi-Fi, you know, the Wi-Fi from the parking lot has been a lifesaver for people during the pandemic that don't have Wi-Fi at home, that they go sit in their car at the parking lot and get that. So it's interesting. I think the pandemic kind of raised the profile of the library a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we're at a really great place where we're going to continue some of those services that we've been doing all through the pandemic, where the curbside and the story walks. And now we're at a point where we're relaunching our summer reading program. And so that's something that we're really excited to come back. And so the kickoff event for that is going to be on the 23rd of June. And that's going to be outside.
See, I would I would ask what the book is, but you're not allowed to tell me, are you?
The book.
Oh, you can tell me. I thought it might be a secret.
Well, so the book, that's our One Book, One Community program, which has actually already happened this year. The summer reading program, so you can read whatever book you want for that. And it's a tracking hours. So this is an all ages program.
Oh, I was thinking of the community read.
Yes, which is a really great program too.
Yeah, there's so many programs the library does. And actually we did two community reads this year, two different books, one for young adults and one for adults kids and young adults. So, you know, I really appreciated that innovation this year because it opened up accessibility to a new crowd.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard really great things about the community read.
What was the community read this year, John? Do you remember?
One was House in the Cerulean Sea.
Ah, right.
I believe the other was Wish Tree for the young adults. Mm-hmm. So they're both fantastic. My daughter got to Wish Tree before I did, though, so I had to catch up on that one.
I know we interviewed the author of House in the Cerulean Sea, whose name now suddenly
TJ Klune.
TJ, yeah, right.
He's so fun. He was so fun, just like his characters. He's just like, he's magical.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting interview, which is, by the way, available on our website.
It might even be available on our website too, not to deal, you know, dual websites, but I think we want to make sure people can go back to that program, both the KPTZ interview as well as the community read presentation that he did. And view it again and again for your pleasure, just like reading a book a second time.
It is interesting, as I reflect here, that that in many ways the internet has increased accessibility and the importance of libraries, where you would, you know, I might have originally thought that it would, you know, make it less important, but it seems like, you know, that having a community read and then having access to interviews and presentations, you don't have to actually go and be there. You can come in later and find out.
I mean, I also say, I mean, this is, you know, this is also a program that the library helped galvanize just this week, you know, around compost, back to the land, where Bliss Morris and our wastewater treatment plant, you know, that's a great example of something that didn't really exist before. We didn't do a How Your City Works program or have those kind of guest, you know, presentations, but the library is very well set up to be able to do that. And, worked out really well, so we'll keep doing that.
Well, I have not met Bliss, but by all reports I have heard, he makes a kind of a, you know, sticky topic fascinating. And that's happened. We've missed that.
Yep, that was Tuesday, but my guess is it'll be
on the website.
It'll be rerunnable by going back and watching the presentation. So we'll catalog a bunch of those. But again, that's a core function of the library, you know, 24/7 service, no matter what the day, what the hour, the resources are available. You can make requests, you can view materials, you can download, you know, audiobooks, that kind of thing. It's not, you don't have to wait till opening hours, although we're also open and increasingly so different days of the week.
What are the hours of the library now?
Emily, it's changed fast. I know we brought back Saturdays.
And we also brought back Monday. That was the most recent. So Monday, it's 10 to 5. And then the other days, it's 10 to 7. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's 10 to 5, I believe.
Yeah, no, they're open for business.
Yeah, so we are open. There are a lot of hours that we are open each week.
And are you seeing a lot of traffic now? People coming through?
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, I think it's like a slow start. So we're beginning to see like an increase, and especially we only recently reopened on Monday, so that's kind of been the slowest day. So spread the word and let people know that we're back open on Monday. But it's been really great seeing people back in the building.
Does the Port Townsend Library support ordering books via a web interface, and you can bring things in? Do you have an interlibrary loan program, that kind of thing?
Yes, we do. Yeah, so you can place book requests online. There's also the Libby and Overdrive app. So if you read eBooks or e-audio, I know that's something that I use all the time, is the Libby app for audiobooks for like my commute, or if you're like walking outside listening to audiobooks.
I've had the toughest time figuring out how Overdrive works, and it's a way of getting an eBook on your device that then expires at some point, right? Because it then goes back, it's a loan.
But yeah, it works very similar to, say, Audible, if you use Audible. Mm-hmm. And I think that the easiest way is if you're using like your iPhone or laptop, is downloading the Libby app. And it should just walk you through. And the great thing, too, is you can always call us or stop by the library, and we can walk you through that stuff, and that makes it easier.
Librarian as source of information.
Yes. We are always happy to help.
I had a chance encounter last night with somebody who has a Rover, a dog that I know in the community, and didn't realize that she was explaining to my wife and daughter and I actually that dog is something my daughter next year will be able to read to in second grade. Maybe you can explain. There's such a variety of great programs that we do across the board here, Emily.
There's a library dog? Is that what I'm catching?
No, maybe you can explain, Emily.
Yeah, so that is actually built into our summer reading program. The Read to Rover program is therapy dogs. And that's so our first one was actually yesterday. Or no, that was Tuesday. And those have been taking place at 2 o'clock. So if you come to the library at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, kids ages, I think it was 5 to 11, can read to therapy dogs. Our director, Melody, actually brings in her dog. His name is Griffin. He's such a sweet dog. And so then the kids can read out loud to him, which is really great.
Does this help kids to learn to read out loud? Is that the point that if they think someone is, I mean, now, well, actually, I don't know whether Griffin is maybe a great connoisseur of I don't know, French literature or something. I don't know.
More of a Hemingway dog.
Hemingway. I think. Oh, right. Yeah. Short, distinct words.
Yeah, it's a great way for kids building confidence, reading out loud. And I think dogs are the least judgmental beings you are ever going to experience. So sitting down with a dog and like practicing your reading is a really great way to experience books. And also there's so many benefits about reading out loud in general. So if that's something that you're doing as a family, all of those hours like count for the summer reading as well. So that was something that I was going to mention. So if you're participating in the summer reading program, kids and teens can come in at 10 hours and they get a free book. So we've got lots of different choices from them to pick out. And then at 45 hours, they can come in for a t-shirt. And adults can participate too. So if you read 90 hours this summer, it's a little bit higher for adults. You can come in and get a t-shirt as well. And that's designed by Deanna Sullivan. He's a local artist and he's absolutely amazing. So that's exciting. We like highlighting local talent.
So do people keep track of their hours in a journal, essentially, a reading journal?
Yeah, so you can do that. We've got paper trackers that you can fill out too, or there is an app for that as
There's
well.
There's that course.
it's called the Beanstack app. So you can sign up online or you can do that on your phone. And that can be a way to track your hours as well. And there's lots of neat features too, where there's a timer. So if you want to set the timer while you're reading, it'll track your hours for you.
Much like a meditation timer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, our refrigerator at home is filled with scrolling of hours. And that's how it's going to work in our house. And I will commit to attempting to get to 90 hours myself.
Wow, John, good.
And not work reading, not
yeah,
for my
no,
job.
Yeah, no, because you know, actually, just 2 city council packets would probably.
I'm going to just say that doesn't count for me. I'm going to read for fun and for information and read to my daughter. Yeah.
So this is something that your kids are participating in, John.
Yeah, I have a daughter, Madeline, who is a voracious reader and a deep lover of the library and all its programs and people. We try to wholeheartedly participate. I think we've done a number of community reads. The virtual setup has allowed her to participate with some of the adult community reads of the past. It's a lot of fun. And you know, she's gotten lucky and is able to chew through a lot of books by herself. Mm-hmm. But she likes being read to. And so I think, you know, parents might need to remember that even though your kid knows how to read, sometimes it's fun to, read back to them and share.
Well, Emily mentioned a minute ago the benefits of reading out loud. And I was going to say, well, what are the benefits? This is a benefit to the reader, but also to the listener. You're thinking,
yes. So one, I think it's a really bonding experience. That's something that I've seen grown up, but where my parents were really great about. I remember reading with my dad and my mom, and they still read to my younger siblings. So I think that brings the family together. But also there's a lot of scientific benefits to hearing language spoken out loud. So when you're reading on a page, lots of times you're skipping words, but when you're reading out loud to your kids, seeing those enhanced language patterns. And so your kids are picking up on even more sophisticated language and vocabulary through that experience.
I'm glad I asked that question.
I love the studies around reading out loud. So I think everybody should
and presumably had an impact on you. You then went ahead and I would guess got a degree in library science of some sort. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I went to grad school at the University of Washington. And so and that is a huge component of what I do with we have our story times. And so I'm reading out loud and sharing that experience. And I'm hoping that parents take that home with them and are able to find books that work for their family.
Okay, if you are just joining us, I should do this every time, John, and I always forget.
Well,
if you are just joining us, this is Taylor Clark, co-host of Bureaucracy Now, and I'm here with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, and we have with us Emily Bufford, who is the Library Manager for Youth and Outreach Services. I got it this time.
Wow. Mark it. That was very well done, sir. I realize there are two things I was going to throw on the table if I could.
Please do.
One is just a shout out to something that was going to maybe make a guest appearance here, but we probably run out of time for it. So I did want to say lovely people of Olympic Pride, I'd hope to have them here. It's Pride Month. There's a really great event, I'll just say, on the 25th at Pope Marine Park from 10 to 4. And there'll be music and fun and arts and crafts and the DJ. So check that out.
It includes entertainment by DJ Magic Marker, The Cabin Project, The Kilsyd Band, Kim Archer, and Deloria.
Yes.
And it is hosted by drag performer Katrina Duall.
And I'm a little gutted that I'm out of town that day because the wonderful people at Pride wanted me to be there, but I believe a city council member, better yet, will be there in my place to say a few words or at least be part of the festivities. Excellent. I just wanted to make mention of that. The other thing is, speaking of public events, a big shout out to Emily. I mean, hitting the ground running on April Fool's Day is no small thing anyway. But I was really grateful, you know, when the farmers market opened up, maybe you could talk a little bit about this, Emily. Yeah. It was so fun to have, there's so much going on that opening day. So many people, it was such a gratifying, like we're back kind of moment. And so many people gravitated to the library and the library's presence. And actually this presence all summer at the farmers market.
Do you have a table at the farmers market?
Yeah. So, the first Saturday of the month, we've got a table set up. And we're actually on the green, just right where the farmers market is taking place, and
in front of the community center, right?
Yes, in front of the community center. Thank you. And we've got a story time substitute that's been doing all our story times. Her name is Judith, and she's absolutely amazing. It's just incredible watching the kids come in. I was so amazed at her ability to just draw in the crowds, like John was saying. And so I was there for the first two, which was really great. It's amazing to see the community coming back together in that way.
I didn't know you had that going on. That is interesting.
And then, of course, the last Saturday of each month from now till September, a city council member and staff will be at a more general table about what's going on for the city and how to get engaged. And so come check us out the last Saturday of the month, too.
Okay. John, are you going down to the ruckus this weekend?
We're going to try our best to both be on a little wet camping trip at Olympic National Park on the coast and hit the ruckus as well. And I have pledged to Jake Beatty that I will be at the 5 a.m. start of the R2AK.
I will see you there. I am also going
to
be
I'm going to choose to drive my bicycle there because I'm told that is the only time we'll have gridlock in town at 5 a.m. because so many people are pouring in to get to that start. Find alternative means.
I'm be walking from my boat, which is in Point Hudson for the week.
Oh, that's one-upping me. That is definitely one-upping me. Someday we'll race to Alaska there, Taylor. What do you think?
No, we won't. And I mean the 7048, that one looks more interesting, but I believe that my days of long distance paddling might be behind me. Yeah. And that sort of thing.
Fair enough. Well, that'll be another great event. And I just love how, you know, the library is such a compliment to all the things that are getting turned back on here. I mean, still stay safe out there, folks, because, you know, we're still in a pandemic.
But, yes.
Our community is still very much alive, and it's just really great and validating to see.
Okay. John, before you disappear, I'm just going to introduce, because we're about out of time here. So I want to thank Emily for joining us. Thank you so much for being with us. And John, thanks for co-hosting as usual. Mm-hmm. And we are the next song. Are you familiar with Sidney Bechet?
No.
See, he's
not yet.
Well, you're about to be. So Sidney Bechet is like the other, you know, I have this thing about Louis Armstrong. I think he's the greatest musician of the 20th century. And if you only think of Satchmo, then you're missing out on who Louis Armstrong is. Sidney Bechet is a contemporary of Louis Armstrong. He actually recorded his first disc before Louis Armstrong recorded. And this is about 1928, I would say, was when they started to be able to do, you know, 78s. And he is, Armstrong, of course, is a trumpet and cornet player. And Sidney Bechet plays reeds, mostly soprano saxophone, mm-hmm. but also other saxophones, and I think also clarinet. And this is a tune called Blues in the Air, Sidney Bechet and his New Orleans Feet Warmers on KPTZ. And join us next week for more Bureaucracy Now. Thanks, John.
Thank you.